Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into the Labatt Studio. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. Thanks for everybody for joining us. Got a full hour of Penn State football for you. I'm Andy Shea. Joining me, kicking off our show this week, Bob Flounders, Penn State football beat writer for Penn Live and the Patriot News. How you doing, Bobby?
Good. So, second signing day in the books, and now it's we're going to talk a little bit about that, and it's time to get ready for spring football.
National signing day number two for Penn State. I'll sum it up like this.
Ooh, you sound excited so
bang,
far.
Bang, bang goes the cap gun. So, Ross Tucker will join us shortly. He's the third member of our team. Right. We kick off with some news and notes on National Signing Day Part 2, followed by Tucker's Tape, brought to you by GoPSURV.com. They're your questions, his answers. Ask Ross is brought to you by our good friends at 409TailgateClub.com. That'll power quarter number three. And we'll close out the show with a 2019 recruiting class overview. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about a little bit about National Signing Day version number two. There was some inkling of promises that there would be fireworks. I say it sort of kiddingly, that they got some guys, but it was more kind of what you expected and kind of filled out the class. Mm-hmm. They didn't have a big moving day in any way, shape, and form.
No, I don't think it was supposed to be really a big moving day. Correct. I believe unofficially the consensus was they finished just outside the top 10, like 11, 10, depending on how you want to look at it. I still think it was a great class.
I agree.
I think some decisions were probably impacted by the fact that they had some open spots. They needed to get some more bodies in there that they liked, and maybe, you know, if they had some players they were really thinking about offering and they couldn't because they didn't have room. Well, they had room. So let's see. It'll be interesting to see a couple years from now how many of these guys, the guys that they got in the last week or so, or the last 2 weeks or so, how many of them can kind of make an impact. Also on the radar, James didn't rule out maybe adding a couple of transfer portal kids, because
Correct.
He is definitely in the market for a little bit more depth now that everything's starting to shake out.
And he's got the room on his roster to do it as well. So statistically, the class sits at 23. They added five more for National Signing Day number two. They finished 10, 11,
somewhere in
12, somewhere in that range, depending on where you look at. That's still, I think, in my opinion, is a good sort of follow-up to a top five class in 2018. Like, it's a validation. Like, you know, our recruiting hasn't slipped. And you knew it was. You know, this class might not be finished, though. Did you?
Yeah, he was asked about it. He said he'd like to think it is, but he said the way things have gone this year and with all of the stuff that's happened, and he said it's not officially finished. So we'll see.
Officially.
I mean, you just don't know what's going to happen. I think it's very important that they got a much higher number. We've talked about it on campus in January.
It's 11 guys in January.
If they had 23 kids and only four kids were enrolled in January, I think he'd be a lot. I think he'd be telling a different tale.
Right.
He would have been telling a different tale.
Oh, I think, you know, the way he's using the way he's developing the talent and utilizing it, you enroll early, you know, based on 18 and the way it looks with the guys that are in 19, you enroll early. Opportunity to play is like legitimate. Like, you're going to get plenty of opportunity.
Also, it was a refreshing to admit that he was kind of wrong in his approach to winter workouts. It kind of flew under the radar, but they no longer get up at the crack of, they're not working out at 5 a.m. anymore. They're working out in the afternoon, because they said they invested all this time into nutritionists and sleep and all this stuff. And he goes, and we have these kids getting up at 4:30 in the morning to work out.
To work out.
They're doing it in the afternoon now.
Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting. That was one of the first things from the guys who were left over from the O'Brien years when Franklin first came in.
Well, they're not the only ones. A lot of guys believe in that.
Right, right. And that the one of the things they heard, the one of the first complaints I heard from players was like, they are killing us with the workout. So let's talk about the guy that Penn State still has a chance to get. Four-star safety Nick Cross is still a possibility for National Signing Day number two. He is committed verbally to Florida State, but has not signed his letter.
Usually there's some hinting at the press conference if he thinks that there's another kid in play for Penn State, he'll kind of reference the fact that, we're still in the market for a couple of players, some really good players. We'll see how it was. He didn't do that. He does it at the first signing day. It just sounds like there's a lot going on with this kid. So
yeah, he wants to go to Florida State. The kid where he committed. His dad wants him to go to Penn State, and Mike Loxley's making a late, home state push for the DeMatha product. He's a top, one of the top. Right around one of the top 50 players overall in the country. So, I mean, he's a defensive back. If Penn State wants to add a seventh defensive back to the 2019 class, I don't know about that. So, let me give you an interesting offer, Keystone Sports Network fans, from the guys at GoPSURV.com. For the blue-white game, it could be yours, a GoPSURV. For the blue-white game, if you enter our raffle and you're chosen. So what you have to do is download our app, the Keystone Sports app. Get it from the App Store on your phone if you haven't done so already. Go to the GoPSURV.com button on the app. Give us your name, email, and you're entered. That's it. It's that easy. Download the app and enter. That's all you have to do. One per person, and you could win an RV for the weekend at GoPSURV.com for the blue-white game. All right, Bob, let's keep going on some news and notes. We're going to talk about, when Ross Tucker joins us, we're going to break down the guys who have signed, the three of them in Tucker's tape. But let's talk about some of the guys they didn't get. Defensive tackle Jaquie Sorrell. Yeah, it's the defensive tackle position. It's that sore spot of a position that's kind of a little bit of a sore spot on the field, but seems to be a sore spot on the recruiting trail. He opted to stay home and closer to South Carolina, but every time Penn State's in for a defensive tackle, that kind of makes you go like, ooh, and it just kind of,
as Ross likes to say, there's not a lot of them, and as a result, everyone wants them. So it's a survival of the fittest when you're going after those five-star guys. I think there's only 20 or 25 every year, so. I think it's interesting they got the kid from Germany. I can't wait to see. I don't know what Ross thinks about him. There's not a lot. I don't know if there's a lot out there about him.
There's some film.
I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. But I think, Boomer – I don't know if it's Boomer bust, but he certainly seems to be a guy that if he puts some weight on, he might be able to do some things down the line.
Well, they obviously – I mean, James Franklin seemed to be pretty enamored with that kid as a project. But
he's been enamored with other guys that have.
Yeah, I know, as you roll your eyes. Penn State did not get the call from tight end Brett Seither. He chose Georgia, but I'm like, tight ends? Like, how many tight ends they have? Five? Six? You
talking about Georgia or Penn State?
No, Penn State, yeah.
I don't know. If the guy can play, if they got a tight end, they find a tight end who can block and also catch the ball, they need to go get him.
Right. No, that's a good point. Offensive tackle Doug Nestor, he was looking at Penn State. He's from West Virginia, but he flipped from Ohio State to Virginia Tech. Those were kind of the three name guys that Penn State didn't get as they were rounding out the 2019 class. Let's keep going. James had a press conference afterwards. Anything he talked about jump out to you? I want to give you an opportunity to see if there was anything after the National Signing Day press conference that you thought was interesting.
So, I mean, the way that he talked about Tommy Stevens and his loyalty and all that he did, and I think somebody's dinner's ready. The way that he talked about him, I just kind of feel like it's going to take a lot. I mean, if Tommy's healthy, it's going to take a lot. To get him out of there. If it's a fight, Sean Clifford's got to score a knockout to get the job. He's a loyal guy.
I get it. He talked about it.
He said, look, we got to line him up somehow. He's going to be one, and usually that means the kid that's in the lead is going to be tough to catch. But who knows? Tommy's got to stay healthy. The other thing I thought that was interesting is he talked about the Corley Galliano fired one guy.
Yes. Didn't fire the other one.
Both of them. Could have fired both of them. Could have made a strong case. And he talked about that he only ever has cut ties with the coach because he's so loyal twice in 9 years as head coach. And
Correct. He
said it still bothers him. He's still kind of dealing with it. And I'm sitting there going, he fired him less than 24 hours
right
after the bowl game.
Right.
So this was a decision he probably made in November or December. I was just waiting to pull the trigger. But the way that he talked about the assistant coaches, it wasn't just about the drop passes and it wasn't just about the kicking game mistakes.
Right.
I do believe James is a guy that is a relationships guy. He's real big on building or attempting to build relationships with his players. And I got the impression that Corley, it wasn't so much about maybe developing the receivers, but I don't think he ever established a rapport with them. I don't think there were any relationships, and I think that carried over into recruiting. And I don't think he felt the same about Galliano, and I think that's why Galliano is still around. I think Galliano also helps with the defensive line, but when he was asked about Galliano, he didn't go into defensive mode at all. He said, no, I'm really comfortable with who I have on my staff right now.
Yeah, he broke his staff down really hard. And he basically said, when he was talking about the quarterback, like, Tommy Stevens is one. Sean Clifford is too. He said, I'm not naming a starter, but as we head into, you know.
As it should be.
So, all right. Lastly, in the last minute before we get done with quarter number one and welcome Ross Tucker in for Tucker's Tape this week. Lamont Wade came back. He's out of the portal, back on Penn State. James addressed it a little bit and talked about it. I wanted to get your thoughts on it real quick.
I think Lamont's got his work out to carve a role on the defense. Now, their history has shown that if you stay at Penn State and you kind of apply your trade and you get better and you don't make any mistakes on or off the field, there's usually room at the end for you at your fourth or fifth year, whether it's in a key reserve role or maybe if, you know, there's some injuries or guys, you know, there's a chance. You've seen it. But if he's going to start recruiting better, there's going to be less misses. So I think Lamont is a guy that can help Penn State on special teams. I just don't know if he's an every down defensive back. I just don't know that he is big enough to do that in this day and age because of the freaks that the good teams are putting out there. So we'll see. But yeah, he was the one who did return from the portal. The only one.
I found it interesting, the other part, flip side of it, in the last couple seconds here. What James said, they were talking and conversing about it the entire time. So it wasn't like the year before with Tommy Stevens where there was a little bit of secret. It was out in the open, and it wasn't a surprise either way. All right, that'll do it. Tucker's Tape, come on back and join us.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.